Good morning. Good morning, Hope City. So good to worship with you. You sounded great. Man, oh man, you were lifting my spirits. Just sitting up in here and hearing us. That's a better way to put it. Hearing us worship was a gift. What a gift. And what a foretaste, a tiny little, imperfect, and yet little foretaste of heaven. Last week, you guys, we talked about something that hit a little home for some of us, that was a little culturally a thing. We talked about cell phones and Jesus and how we can live as worshipers with these pieces of technology that seem to just take over if we don't intentionally do something. I'm not going to repeat that message, but I did have some people ask. If you were not here, I would encourage you to just go online or go on our Spotify account. We have all the messages now on Spotify as well as on YouTube, so you can just listen to them. But listen to that. It was an important message culturally for us as a church. And then I had some people ask, either they didn't get a sticker or their sticker didn't work or their sticker broke. What we did is I encouraged folks to put a sticker right on the screen of their phone. And I know other people put it on their computer or their iPad or whatever as a way to remember that we want to use these devices as objects to worship God rather than objects to be worshiped. And so I bought some more stickers, so if you want another one, grab one. If you didn't get one, if you want an extra, just take these. We're not going to have my excellent volunteers pass them, but just weave them back, okay? Snake them to the back. They'll also be in the back after if you want another one, okay? So today, if last week we're talking about training in godliness all summer, how can we train ourselves? We know very clearly, and I want to share this every week because this can get lost if we don't get intentional with it. We are not saved by our effort. Hope City, give me an amen, please. We are saved by the effort, the sacrifice, the work of Jesus. Our salvation is assured. We are confident. We are secure. We are accepted, adopted into the family. Blind and now we see, lost and now we found, orphaned and now adopted. We are all of that exclusively because of the work of Christ on the cross. And that is the best news because you know what? None of us could ever work that hard or work that well or be that sinless or not do enough good things and not do enough bad. None of us before a holy We said, holy, saying, holy is your name. Holy means set apart, sanctified, different, other than. There's no way that any of us as a human being could ever be good enough, righteous enough, holy enough, do enough good things, not do enough bad to be acceptable before a God that is truly holy and that the angels are in a constant state of bowing and adoration and worship of him 24/7 for eternity. And the good news is we don't have to. Amen. Man, I've lived with myself most of my life. I've told you guys that. Like, I know the stuff I've done and I know the stuff I haven't done. I'm not proud of it. I'm just saying I know that I am not and could never be righteous before my God, ever. But Jesus, when he stood on that hung on that cross, taking all of sin, becoming sin, the greatest sacrifice, the Passover lamb for us, and he hung there and he took the weight of sin and he drank the cup of the wrath of his Father. And then right before he breathed his last, remember, nobody took his life from him. He gave it willingly and then took it back in his power. But right before he died, he said, "It is finished." The work of reconciling man back to God, a sinful man back to a holy God. All of the work was done in that moment of reconciliation, of redemption, of salvation, of forgiveness. You guys, we have to constantly remind ourselves of that, and especially as we talk this summer about training in godliness, because we're talking about a lot of things that require effort. We're talking about things that are sacrificial, things that kind of get to our heart, and things we have to do, because although our salvation is not dependent in any way on what we do, our walk with Christ is very much dependent upon what we do and how we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, and how we are active in good works, and how we train ourselves in godliness. I'm tired, Hope City. I'm not tired, it's good. Today, what we're going to be talking about today, I will tell you, can be a bit awkward, it can be a bit difficult, it can make us feel different things, some of them uneasy, but it is and has been from the beginning something that is an aspect of us training in godliness. We're going to be talking today about generosity. Of living a life of generosity. Now, I will tell you, and I've confessed this to you all before, I don't speak on this enough. And I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because it's awkward to come to church and talk about money. I don't know. It shouldn't be, but it is. I will tell you that I struggle with this. By God's grace, it's going to be fine today because, although I don't like to talk about it a lot, God does. God talks about it a lot. It's important to God. So if it's important to God, it should be important to us. Amen? I think I also stray away from it or shy away from it a little bit because I sort of overswing from a false doctrine that many have called the prosperity gospel. I think I overswing from that. This idea that God is a spiritual genie in a bottle, and if you just give, he'll mysteriously give you back. And they've taken something that we're going to talk about in a little bit that is in one hand true, but because they haven't balanced it with the other parts of the gospel and the other parts of living generous, it's become this wrong doctrine of just give and you'll be rich. Just give and you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. I'm going to tell you that's not necessarily true. So I think I've overswung. I think I've overswung too far. And we're going to talk about some passages that I hope are going to be helpful. By the way, this is also not a holistic message on generosity. Because if it was, I would talk about being generous. That word generosity, there's a few different Greek and Hebrew words. But the heart of it is to be liberal. Not, it's not a political ideology. I'm saying it's to be liberal, to be giving, to be generous, to be ready to share. Always ready to open your hands to share what you have. And this is not a holistic message on that, because if it was, we'd talk about being liberal with our time and our energy and our giftings and our talents. Those are all areas that we are to be generous, that we are to be ready to share. Today, we're not going to be focused in on our resources and our finances and our money. This is also not a holistic message on money, because if it was, I would have to talk about things like debt and savings and all of those other things that God does talk a lot about. He talks about those things quite a bit, but we're not going to talk about that. So we're really narrowing this down to one aspect of a much larger picture on generosity, how we can live a generous life. And this was my heart this week. We want to learn, training in godliness, to learn how to live generosity as wisdom and worship. How does that sound? Living a generous life as an act that is both wise and worshipful. All right, first thing, God doesn't need your money. Yeah, let's just start there. God doesn't need your money. God wants your heart. He paid for your heart at the price of Jesus. And he wants your heart. But so many times our heart is connected to our wallet. Isn't it? It just is. So money is important to God, not because he needs it. I've heard he's got a lot of cattle on a bunch of hills. He's got enough. He doesn't need it. He wants our hearts. He wants our hearts. And so many times money and what he would call the love of it, which is as natural as it is to breathe. The love of it, or what it can provide or produce or give or make us think we have, gets to our very heart, and he wants our heart. And he says you can't love both God and money at the same time. I think it's the only thing that he puts into those kind of phraseology. It's the only thing that sort of gets in the way of the love of God to the degree that it does, is what money is, does, looks like, provides, makes me think I have, makes me feel, makes me, all of that. So you guys, living generosity, that's what we want to talk about today. Living generosity as an act that is both wise and worshipful. I want to begin with some words of Jesus, although they're not found in the gospel. This is an interesting passage. It's one of the only times where Jesus is quoted outside of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm so glad Luke, the author of the book of Acts, included this in. Remember, not every word that Jesus ever spoke is in here, and not every act that Jesus ever did is in here. Apostle John said, if we were to put all that, you couldn't have enough room for the books. Okay, so this is one that finds its way into the book of Acts from the Apostle Luke, but who then included it in, but we don't see this quoted from the Gospels, but it is still clearly the words of Jesus. And I'm so glad Luke, and by this Holy Spirit, included this in, because I want us to remember this as we start. Acts 20:35, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, working hard in the way of generosity, by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That word blessed means happy, fortunate, and well off. You know, you can be more well off if you give some of your well offness. This is wise because it is happy. It is wise because it is good for us to live a generous life. It's good for us. This is not new to God's people. God has been speaking generosity. God's children, the Israelites, were designed to be generous from the very beginning. In fact, they were instructed to be generous and save some. Don't cut your crops right up to the edge. Leave some for the sojourner. Leave some for the widow. Make sure you have some for the fatherless and the orphan. Don't cut right up to the edge. Don't be greedy. Be generous. Make sure you have and leave some. And they were always, the Israelites were always to be generous. They were not always the wealthiest people on the planet, but they were called to be the most generous people on the planet. They were called to reflect generosity in a way that was unique to the cultures of the world that had existed, that this people group would be generous, that they would live generosity. I'm going to go through these very quickly. Here's some passages that were instructive for us, but also were really written for the Israelites. Psalm 37, 21 and 26. The righteous, we just sang about how God's name is righteous. The righteous is generous and gives. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. There is a generational blessing when you are a generous person. You see that? That's not prosperity, that's just truth. There is a generational blessing when we as parents live generosity. Psalms 112:5, it is well with the man who deals generously. There's not one of us that doesn't want our life to go a little weller. Proverbs 14:21, blessed is he who is generous to the poor. Always been instruction to be generous and save some for the poor. That flows right through the New Testament and right through the epistles and right through the time of Jesus, that we are always to be generous with those who are poor. Proverbs 14:31, he who is generous to the needy honors the poor. It is actually an honor to people that we can honor in a unique way when we are generous with people. When we give with a generous, I'll say cheerful even, heart. Proverbs 19:17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he, the Lord, will repay him for his deed. We are actually, when we live a generous life, we are being generous with God, who has been incredibly generous to us. Amen? So we are just reflecting generosity back to our God. When we live a generous life, we're actually lending to him. And there's a little note at the end of this that says, God recognizes your generosity, and guess what? He'll repay you. Oh man, let me have that kind of repayment by God. Acts 2, the New Testament church. Read the Gospel of Acts, the birthing of the New Testament church and Pentecost and the coming of the Spirit and thousands being added. They were known, they were literally known for their generosity of heart. They had generous hearts as a body, as a new movement. This movement was, there were four things that defined this movement, and one of the four was generosity at the core of what it meant to be a New Testament church. Later on in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was hailed and exalted as a man who was devout and God-fearing, and it makes a really clear point. He was generous. He gave alms, which is giving to the poor. He was generous to all people. He had a generous heart. And then this one is crazy. So Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, is going to speak about a different church, the church in Macedonia. He's going to talk about something. This church in Macedonia was going through severe trials that were both personal and physical, but they were also related to their finances, and they were going through hard times in trials of multiple ways. But look at this passage in 2 Corinthians 8:2. In a severe test, their generosity or their extreme poverty, church in Macedonia, extreme poverty, very, very poor, has overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. They got poorer and became more generous. Their extreme poverty led to a generosity. That is so cross-cultural. That is so cross what our mind would ever think. I did an overload of study this week on generosity and philanthropic giving and all of that across our state and the nation. And there is a exact reverse, not exact, there is a clear reversal in our country. States' median income and states' giving by percentage. There is an exact opposite correlation. The poorest states in our country consistently give the highest percentage of what they have to charity. The richest states by median income give the least as a percentage of income. And it is consistent. These lists are like almost exactly flopped. They are intertwined. So something about poverty can lead to generosity. Now, I want to talk about three aspects of living a generous life, and the three, worshiping God in generosity in three different ways, because the Bible speaks of all three. These are three seasons, these are three times, these are three places we might find ourselves, but we're going to talk about living generosity if we're poor, if we're rich, or if we're in the middle. The Bible speaks really to all three. If we're poor, if we're rich, or we're in the middle. Now, I had so much trouble defining what, like, man, I my head exploded trying to think of what's poor? Is it relative? Is it objective? Is it subjective? Is it cultural? Is it, what's rich? Is it objective? Is it what I think? Is it what I have? Is it, okay. You see where I was getting all messed up in the head about this? So I had to make it simple, you guys. I made it simple for my own sake, and I hope this makes it a little easier to grasp. I came up with three definitions of poor, rich, and in the middle. Poor is you have consistently no extra. Consistently no extra. Rich, on the other hand, is you have consistently extra. And in the middle is you sometimes have extra. Does that help a little bit with defining? And because if you want to put yourself into one of these, go by that definition. Okay, because the Lord speaks to all three of those. Living generous, whether you never have extra, whether you seem to always have extra, or whether you sometimes do and sometimes don't have extra. Okay, we're going to start with generous if we are poor. Generous if we are poor. This is having no extra. You're going to see a hero. You're going to see a hero here that Jesus holds up as a hero who was someone who was generous as poor. Mark 12:41-44. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched people putting money into the offering box. I like this because we have an offering box. And there you go. Okay. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. So this can't be based on a number." It can't. "For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This hero of giving was the poorest lady around. She was generous as poor. Now, when you find a person who is poor, and remember, if that's where you are at today, you can be the hero of the story. Amen? You can be the hero of the story. No, Jesus is the hero. You can be sort of somebody that's looked to. When we find generosity when we are poor, there's two important things that are reflected in this. Number one, generous as poor reflects the gospel of Christ. Generous as poor reflects the gospel. I was thinking about this. God didn't have an extra son. He had one and only son. And he gave everything. He didn't have an extra son. He didn't have four sons. It makes it very clear in the Bible. He had one son, and he gave his one son. That is why he said she gave everything. It was a reflection of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave. And when she gave everything she had, she was reflecting the good news of Jesus. The other thing that this did is when we're in a poor place in our lives and we give generously, it reflects true faith. It shows that we trust God. This gal trusted the Lord with everything she had. We studied through the book of James last year on Wednesday night Bible study, and one of the passages that we talked about was James 2:5, and it says, "Has God not chosen the poor to be rich in faith?" That is why when we minister to the poor, or when we are ministered to as poor, there is a faith that we can have as someone who is poor that people who have sometimes extra or consistently extra can never understand. And it reflects a faith in God, and it is designed to. So if you are poor, God has chosen you to be rich in faith. What's more important, rich in money or rich in faith? Don't ever look down on a poor person, ever. Because a poor person that trusts Jesus has been chosen by God to be rich in something that we are all working out for our entire lives, our faith. Ever. I was down on the boardwalk and I was walking and I wasn't creeping. I was just walking and these two folks were walking at my same pace. And so I just couldn't help but hear. And one of the persons said to the other person, they're like, "Do you have a dollar?" And this other person said, I don't know if he said dude, but I'm going to say it. "Dude, I'm the only person in this city who's poorer than you. I got a quarter, but you can have it." "Okay, thanks." Gave the quarter. So the person that gave the quarter, they split and started walking. Well, now I was creeping. Now I was catching up to this person. My heart was so taken by this. And I walked up and I said, I'm not trying to be weird, but man, you blessed me. When I heard what you just said, you blessed me. I had a $5 bill. I said, "Can I please just give you a $5 bill as a way of just saying thank you for giving?" Literally. "No, I'm good. My God takes care of me." Has not God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? When you are generous as poor, you are reflecting something that people with means could never, ever reflect. Number two, generous if we're rich. Now we're going to flip to the other side. Rather than having no extra, now we're going to talk about I consistently have extra. And there may be some of us in this room that are in that place. God has words in a good way for us if we're in that place as well. 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, that's arrogant, thinking you're better than, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. If you ever had a little coin in your pocket, trust me, it's got wings. Think on that one a little bit. But on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy, they are to do good, not just give generous. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, be generous and ready to share. Thus, here's the wisdom, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. See, if we have a little coin in our pocket, we can falsely assume that that is life. If we have a little savings account that's growing bigger, we can assume that that is security. If we got some money to be able to spend and we're able to buy new stuff, we can wrongly assume that life comes from stuff. Because you and I both know stuff gets old, stuff rusts, stuff breaks, stuff falls apart, and then it ends up in the landfill. Go to the landfill. It's a sea of broken dreams. Today's treasure is tomorrow's trash. If you are rich, so generosity when we are rich. Generosity if we are rich. Four important things. Number one, generosity as rich is obedient, wise, humble, and future focused. If you consistently have extra, be generous. Give generously. Do generously. Live a life of liberality. Live a life where you're always ready to share. Be generous with what you have. God has given that to you to enjoy. Use it to find the greatest enjoyment and blessing and happiness by being a giver, a generous giver. It is obedient. God tells us to. It is wise. There's future. It's like you're making an investment into the longer term future. It is humble because you're not setting your hopes. You're not being arrogant, thinking you're better than if I have the nicer car, the nicer house, bigger bank, bigger stuff, bigger whatever. You're not being arrogant. You're being generous, so it's humble. And then it is so future-focused. It's an investment. So if we're rich, if we consistently have extra, let's be generous. Amen? Final place we may find ourselves, generous in the middle. Sometimes we have extra. Sometimes we don't. This passage, by the way, from 2 Corinthians 9 is probably, in my heart, the quintessential passage on New Testament giving, New Testament generosity. This passage is probably where some of the prosperity gospel finds its energy. But I don't want to overswing away from this passage because this passage is just as true as every other passage in the Bible. Amen? So this passage is very important, and I think this is key to understanding what it means to live as a New Testament follower of Jesus, a life of generosity. 2 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 6. The point is this. He's going to talk about sowing and reaping. He's going to say it's like seed. You got some seed? What are you going to do with the seed? Are you going to keep the seed in your hand, or are you going to spread the seed? The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly, drop a seed or two here or there, will also reap sparingly. There's no big crop going to come from that. And whoever sows bountifully, generously, will also reap bountifully. Each one, get this verse in. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Our giving should be intentional. It should have forethought. It should be something that we plan in advance to give. That is not the only way that we give, but we should have planned, generous giving. It should be planned. It should be thought out. It should be, if you're in a family, it should be talked about. It should be something that is, this is what we have decided in advance in our hearts. This is how and where we're going to give and how much we're going to give. And then we should do it cheerfully. Remember, God doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. So give it with a generous heart. Give it with a happy heart. God, let it be a cheerful joy. I've been in churches. We're not one. Where passing the offering plate is like a celebration. They celebrate and rejoice. And then the pastor looks, and if it didn't get enough, they're going to pass it again, and they're going to celebrate again. I've been in churches where it is literally a celebration. God loves, look at that word, loves. God loves a cheerful giver. And God, now here's God's part in this, sowing bountifully, being generous, being cheerful. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having, all, look at these alls, you guys, having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. There is something about giving generously, giving our money generously that opens up God's grace in a way that impacts the rest of our lives. Am I reading that wrong? Or are you guys with me on that? I think that's what it's saying. Having a generous, this is why it is so wise. Having a generous heart is one of the most wise things that you can do because it opens up the grace of God in all sufficiency, all times, all things. It opens up the alls of God when we have a generous heart. And many times that is because when we give generously, we're giving something that resides more in here than in our pocketbook. As it is written, he has distributed freely. That's God. God is a generous giver. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower, remember, God provides every single seed, every single penny, every single dollar, every single thing you've ever had in your hand or in your pocketbook or in your bank account or Bitcoin or whatever you have, whatever, every ounce of that is from God. Every ounce. If you earned it, he gave you the strength to earn it. If you thought about earning it, he gave you the brain to think about it. If you had energy to earn it, he gave you the energy to do it. Every single thing that you've ever had that is good, that you had in your hand, every seed is from him. It's all from him. He has distributed freely. Verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase your the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way. Every means every. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way. You see, here's where it comes true. You open your hands, you spread freely, you get generous. God can give you more so that you can be even more generous in the next time. See, he blesses, he provides, he gives, he pours out so that you can even become more generous. He doesn't pour in more and more and more so you can get more and more and more and more. He gives more and more and more and more so you can be more and more and more and more generous. And he wants to. He wants to. I'm convinced of that. It doesn't mean that there's a gift in poverty as well, and some will have that gift. There's a gift in riches. And some will have that. And there's a gift in being in the middle. And some, I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying this is a very important verse to us understand. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. When we are generous, it draws people's hearts to the Lord. Now, skip down to verse 15. Paul ends this passage with these words, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. All of sowing and reaping and being generous and bounty and blessing and all of that is related to the cross. It's all related to the cross. When we live as generous in the middle, four things again that happen. Number one, it reveals the gospel. It gives thanksgiving to God because as we become generous and become givers, it reflects God as the most generous giver of all time. It understands and lives true stewardship. As I said, anything we have in our hand is His. It is not mine to own or to hold. I have the opportunity to become a money manager rather than a money owner. And it is the only way to true peace is to move from an owner of my money and my stuff to a manager of my money and my stuff. And when I am a manager, a steward, when I've been given it to use for His glory and His kingdom, it takes that anxiety over money and just fades away. If you're a manager, I've been both a manager and an owner of a small business in my life. And I will tell you, there is a difference when you go home as an owner or a manager. Business owners, you understand what I'm saying? You take it home with you as an owner. You take the stress home with you. You take the anxiety, you take the worries. As a manager, you can sort of do your work and be the best manager you can, but then you know there's an owner who's taking care of stuff, and that's not my job. God gives us the opportunity to live as a steward of our money. And we can say, God, you gave it. It's yours. How do you want me to spend your money? And I will tell you, there is a peace in that that the world can never, ever understand. Being a living true stewardship. Number three, it releases our heart to worship. As I said earlier, there is a tie between our money and our heart. And when we are generous, it cuts that tie and allows us to worship God more freely and more fully. And number four, it opens the door to God's generosity, not as a prosperity so I can get more, but as a prosperity so that I can give more. God wants to be generous so that we can live generous, because when we do, it does things that nothing else seems to be able to. Okay, living generous as worship tips. We're gonna end with this. Four tips to living generosity with our money. Number one, ask the Holy Spirit to lead. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead in how much He wants you to give, regular and then as special times when He'll stir your heart. Let the Holy Spirit lead your giving. Then it will move from religious to a relational act of worship. It'll move from religious, I have to give this amount, I have to give this percentage, I have to give this, to an act of worship to our God. God, it is all yours. How do you want me to use your money? Number two, give before you think you can. Give before you think you can. This is very normal. This is very all of us. I'm going to start giving when. I'm going to start giving if. Man, when I just get this stuff. Now, I want to say this, and it's not a holistic message on money. If you are in debt and you want to live generous, my encouragement is, do both at the same time. Start reducing your debt and still living a generous, giving life. Don't obey one to disobey the other. Does that make sense? Don't wait for tomorrow to begin giving generously, because what you're doing is you're holding back on what God may want to do as you start opening up your life to being a generous giver. Number three, is money tight? It's time to give. So cross-cultural, so cross the way we think. But I have seen this as a church. I have seen this in our own life. I have seen that when money gets tight and you start getting nervous, it's actually not time to round up the ponies. It's time to let some go. It's time to give. It's time to release. It's actually time. You're making an investment. You're making a wise decision. When you are generous, when money is tight, you're making a wise decision because of all that God can do through our generosity. Number four, remember, this is worship and it is wise. It is worship and it is wise. Living a generous life is the wisest life we can live. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do. If you are poor today, do your life to the glory of God. If you are rich today, do that to the glory of God. If you are in the middle, do that to the glory of God. Use the money that God has given you that is really His as an act of worship. Here's my last question. And worship team, you can come on up, please. What if our resources became ways to worship God rather than a false god to be worshiped? Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are good, you are kind, You are the most gracious giver in all of existence. There is no one, nothing that has given more generously, more liberally, more sacrificially, more ready to share than you. And God, we are your people, and you are our God. And Father, we want to live generous. We want to live generous with all the parts of our life. And specifically, Lord, we want to live generous with our money. Whether we have no extra, whether we have a lot of extra, or whether we sometimes have extra. God, we want to be generous because you are generous. Father, help us. Help us in this because it's tough. It can be tough. If we've never lived this way, help us, show us. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us into the steps. Lord, lead us and guide us into the steps that you would have us to take. Help us to talk about this with people, to not be afraid. Lord, I confess and I'm sorry I haven't talked about this enough because it's a gift and it's a blessing and it's an object of an aspect of our worship. Lord, help us to talk about this more. Help us to be celebratory, generous givers. God, we love you. Thank you for your indescribable gift. In your name, Christ, we pray. Amen.